Welcome to the PSDcast with your host, Jason Lumberg with Power Systems Design. And in order for smart factories to truly evolve, they may need to embrace the insights and preemptive capabilities provided by artificial intelligence. In this way, they can move from the experimental pilots of 2025 into a landscape of integrated agentic autonomy. Systems that previously just benefited from basic automation and data collection can independently reason, plan, and optimize production schedules in real time. And on the line to discuss that is Bijan Panigrahi, COO of GridRaster. So, Bijan, thanks for joining us. And could you tell us a little bit about GridRaster? I see that your team have a broad swath of experience in next-gen mobile and network-based products, and they previously worked for industry giants like Qualcomm, Apple, Broadcom, and Texas Instruments. What's GridRaster's stake in agentic AI and the smart factory?
No, thank you, Jason, for the opportunity. Yes, I think there's a lot of excitement about the agentic AI. Some of this has been kind of been laid out over the years, and I think the work that we have done over the last 12, 13 years is what we are basically leveraging in GridRaster. GridRaster is a spatial AI and a XR company. We are primarily focused on automating industrial workflows using AI and XR and trying to kind of, in a way, bring the physical world and map it into the digital world in a way that operators can really act on it. Optimize things, train faster, inspect better, and make the complex stack easier for them.
Okay, now I've seen this notion of agentic AI and smart factories as akin to like a traditional assembly line machine getting proactive. You know, in this new paradigm, agentic AI will make these new smarter machines assume the role of a floor supervisor. So, from a strategic perspective, why is agentic AI so necessary in today's industrial landscape?
Good question. So till now, what we have seen, the evolution on the smart factory or even the industrial revolution that we've seen around 4.0 has been that we have had the ability to kind of digitize a lot of these assets, right? Collecting all immense sensor data, there are PLCs, there are the engineering systems, quality systems, and you name it. Like, we collect so many data, right? And today, what happens is most of this data, in order to be meaningfully utilized, somebody with the expertise is kind of interpreting it, deciding what matters and what action needs to be done, and coordinate a collective effort to resolve things, right? And all of this is heavily kind of still human or labor focused. What agentic AI basically is helping us do is, take this into a paradigm where many of this aspects, like, for example, I just kind of talked with an example. We kind of detect there is a crack or there is some defect that we are able to detect. Is there a way that, we can basically localize that? Where is this in the factory? Okay. Can we check what was the context of that? And can we generate, like, what is the best actions that could be done? And then find who will be the right person to do that. And once we find that person, can we help them guide in an AR environment? And then once they do their job and verify whether the work has been done completely. In order to do that, if you see, like, in the earlier part, it was a lot of that was kind of human dependent. There was a cost switching that needs to be done from one person to other. In this case, the agentic AI helps you kind of streamline and basically do a little bit of what I say, a closed loop execution of this whole automation effort. And that's where the combination of the AI plus the digital twin, which what we are kind of working on, helps us kind of achieve this.
All right. Now, manufacturing in the U.S. has been on a bit of a roller coaster ride since the turn of the millennium. More recently, while it's recovered from the Great Recession, overall domestic manufacturing is still shrinking. So how can agentic automation and digital twins represent a fundamental de-risking of domestic manufacturing?
One of the key things, there is a reason why we see the manufacturing had kind of shifted to other parts of the world. One of the primary driver for that happening is the manufacturing in U.S. was considered to be more expensive, right? While if we are able to do that in a offshore location, we found it to be cheaper overall, and that's what like everybody's trying to get the best thing at the cheapest level. And the cost, there are many costs. One is obviously everything that is talked about is around the labor part of it, but there is an element where that is definitely one of the things that is there, which kind of drove many of this. But the biggest thing that is also responsible for this is there's a lot of manufacturing that was happening, which was, more and more complex systems were getting developed, more and more you had, the high mix and highly complex systems that you are kind of developing. There was a growing underlying risk around the amount of work that needs to be done. There was a lot of rework. There was a quality issues. Obviously, the skill set that was required to do all of that was not really kind of happening. So there was a lack of predictability around the quality of and the speed at which you really can manufacture. They were also underlying risks that involved around the domestic manufacturing. Now, what it has happened with the digital twins and the whole automation and AI, it all of a sudden had helped kind of de-risk many of this thing by being able to provide an environment where we are able to produce or manufacture products which is of more predictable quality, and we can measure, right? We can measure the effects of it, the impact of it. Today, what happens is, with the digital twin, for example, it allows you to go and simulate, validate, take different scenarios, make changes, all of that. You validate everything working fine even before you do anything in the physical world. Then only you transfer it to the manufacturing floor, right? And then with the automation, what has happened is we are able to now detect deviations, detect defects much earlier in the cycle. With AI and AR, we are able to almost bring everyone, even if a novice or somebody who doesn't have the yet to be an expert, we are able to bring them up to a level that they're almost kind of working at an expert level and a consistent basis, because we are giving them active task guidance. So the deviations in terms of the tribal knowledge that you're trying to use to kind of do that is no more so individual dependent. The system, it is more and more this intelligence is going to the system, which makes it much more predictable. And that's the way you're basically looking at kind of de-risking the entire system. So there is less surprises in the quality. There are, better yields that we are beginning to see. We have a better readiness level at all the things. And this is what kind of keeps, everything kind of moving and helping the domestic manufacturing come back.
Interesting. So, Dijon, before I let you go, could you briefly discuss the idea of the industrial metaverse?
Yeah, I think the industrial metaverse, I think it's a mouthful in terms of, like, if you go to different people, they would have, different way to see it. Personally, and even at GridRaster, the way we see it is it's a basically a you are creating a spatially accurate digital world of an industrial operation, and you can and bring in all the it's like all the real-time data in a connected systems, right? And that's for us is the industrial metaverse, which includes the whole, kind of creating the digital twins of various assets and facilities, bringing in or interfaces where there is a collaborative effort happened between the humans and the machines. And then there is this automation using AI, agentic AI, which where the systems are now allowed to reason, act and take decisions and get autonomously done many of the tasks, right? For example, the work that we have been doing with the U.S. Air Force on the robotics side, like robotic automation, right? We have been using the combination of the digital twins, AI and XR interface. We allow an operator just wear a headset, just walk around a facility. Automatically, like the moment we do that using AI, we're able to register where all different objects are there, what object is there, what is the target object. That information goes to the robot. Robot now knows where is the obstacles, where is my target object. All of this kind of happens automatically, right? And these are the kind of systems which basically the way we see is the industrial metaverse, which primarily where the machines, humans, and this whole digital layer, like they are kind of working in tandem.
Excellent. Well, thanks, Dijon. I want to thank you for your time, and to our audience, thanks for tuning in and have a great day.